fighting for America.
The one, the only, John Rich.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're so fired up that you're coming to the Idaho Center.
It's been a while since we've been up in your neck of the woods, so we're rolling into town to come give you guys a big and rich time, man. It's been too long.
Fighting for Idaho.
We got this little thing called the American Dream. Everybody should go for the biggest and best thing that they want to go for. We live in a country that lets us go for it. Don't be lazy. If you're an American, don't be lazy. Go for it.
Fighting for you.
You were always kind to me and treated me with respect, so I'm glad to hear you're out there and doing well. The folks out there now get to listen to you, so it's good for y'all listening.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
You've got a real rock star on your hands.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. Welcome. Kevin Miller in the morning at 580 KIDO. Hey, we need to get our Facebook likes up. And I know what you're saying, Kevin. What's the deal with that? This is a radio program. I totally understand that. But I will say this, that as I continue to evolve in the social media realm, the power of social media at 580 KIDO for our Twitter, 580 KIDO on Facebook, or my personal one, which... if you do check that out, you'll know I'll send you notes throughout the day, or at least what we're doing in the morning, to let you know that coming up we'll have a big guest. Senator Risch will join us. In addition to that, we will hear from the teachers concerning a few things, and we'll talk education, but Senator Risch coming up. And before we get to Senator Risch here at 580 KIDO, I want to hear from you, and I want to hear from you concerning the threat or non-threat of ISIS or ISIL or whatever we're calling these folks. Obviously, they've taken over Syria to some degree. They've taken over Iraq. And you talk about a, I guess that's all we can do is laugh about it, a crummy return on investment at 580 KIDO or throughout the world, really, that we spent millions of dollars, training the Iraqis, not only training the Iraqis, but giving them the best military equipment imaginable, and then to have it be turned over to the enemy that wants to take us down. And now if we go after them, and by the way, there really isn't a choice, they're calling us out. They're calling us out on video, on social media. Now, many of us will say, look, let them post wherever. It doesn't matter, but influence becomes reality. Perception becomes reality. And when all of a sudden somebody says to you, the president of the United States, you bomb us, will continue to kill journalists, how do you respond? Well, again, I can tell you as someone who has nothing to lose because I'm too old to serve, I say go get them. But after the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, literally, do we have anything left? And I will tell you this, that I don't believe that we have a choice. As you look at September 11th, what will be our reaction? How many times have we heard politicians, Lindsey Graham, whoever else, saying, quite frankly, that they're coming to get us? How many times are we going to continue to have a porous border and not be bitten? You know how it is. Whether it's at work or in the office or wherever else, all of a sudden people keep saying to themselves, well, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and sooner or later, bad things happen. We hope and pray that bad things don't happen, but unfortunately, they're on the way. Joining us now is Senator Jim Risch with us here at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Boy, I wish we had something happy to talk about.
Well, you know, in the business, that I'm in, unfortunately, most of the stuff isn't happy, things are bad in a lot of different places right now. There's no question about that.
Now, Senator, before we get rolling here, you choose to do this. You could have a life. You could be hanging out in Idaho. Why do you do this?
Well, actually, I do hang out in Idaho. I had actually, as you know, I held public office here in the state for many, many years and had a lot of opportunities to run for Congress and never did. When my time as governor was winding down, it became it looked like that Senator Craig wasn't going to run again, and it was actually Mike Crapo that talked me into this. But he said, "You can still hang out in Idaho." And I said, "How's that?" And he said, "Well, you know, most everybody today commutes, and that's what Vicki and I do. I'm on the 6:30 flight on Monday morning. We start voting about 5:30. I get into D.C. about 4:30. Then Vicki comes a little bit later, and then as the week goes on, she comes home Thursday evening. Sometimes I'm with her, but most of the time it's on Friday or sometimes even Saturday that I come home. But I'm home every single weekend, so I do hang out in Idaho. And I got to tell you, it'd be very difficult for me personally. I suppose other people have a different view of it, but I wouldn't want to live in Washington, D.C. I work there and represent Idaho people there, but I wouldn't want to live there.
Sure. Senator, based on your experience as governor and now as senator, how do you see the relationship between the states and the federal government currently?
Well, it's not what I want to see by any stretch of the imagination. You know, the Founding Fathers gave us a country which was a group of, at that time, colonies, now states, who agreed to be part of a group that would be known as the United States of America, as the federal government. But it was designed, the country was designed to have a weak central government and strong state governments. The central government was designed to defend the country, which was absolutely necessary, and they knew that. The Founding Fathers, a lot of them didn't, they felt a little, about the way I feel about government, and that is they're not too excited about government, but they knew they had to defend the country. They knew they had to deliver the mail. They knew they had print currency, and they knew they had to regulate navigable streams and the commerce on navigable streams. That's what they gave us. Well, things have changed dramatically in the last 237 years, and the states do have a role. They should have a much stronger role, and I push for that all the time.
How concerned are you about the erosion of not only states' rights, but the legislative body's rights under this administration?
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, the legislature, you know, people love to beat up on the state legislature, but it's their government. They elected it, and it was never designed to be a work of art. It was designed to be what it is, and that is a full-blown debate over issues and give and take to reach an agreement. And if you reach an agreement, so be it. If you don't, then you move on to the next issue. So that's what it was designed to do, and that's where it should be done. I mean, people in the legislature, people in the county commission seat, these are people that are responsive to the people that live in that area. You know, right now, if you live in Idaho, if you live in Utah, if you live in Wyoming or Oklahoma or Texas, you look at what's going on in Washington, D.C., and you say, well, wait a minute, this isn't what I want for my government. And on the other hand, if you look at your local government, people will complain about it, but nonetheless, it is much, much closer to what they want, and that is a government that leaves them alone, that stays out of their life, that is as small and as it can possibly be, and with as little regulation and as little intrusion into our personal lives as possible.
Senator Risch, ISIS, a threat. You're privy to a lot of information. Can you give us the latest, sir?
Well, you know, I sit on both Foreign Relations Committee and the Intelligence Committees, and so I do. We've been dealing with this for a long. We've been dealing with ISIS for a long time, lot longer than what it's been in the headlines lately. But look, Americans are war weary. Idahoans are war weary. We're tired of this. We want to go on with our lives. Having said that, right now, because we've had such weak foreign policy over the last 6 years, this is the kind of thing that's happening, and we're going to have to do something about it. There's nobody nobody talking about putting boots on the ground. But the good news is that we don't have to put boots on the ground. Since I've been there, the way that we conduct war against those who are warring against us, that is not a nation as such, but rather are these radical Islamic sects that are out there, be it al-Nusra, be it al-Qaeda, be it ISIS. We don't need to put boots on the ground anymore. We have developed a modern warfare technology, which we've all seen operate on TV and in the print media over the last recent years, where we can actually do what needs to be done without putting any American in harm's way and without having to put boots, 130,000, 150,000 boots on the ground. We don't need to do that anymore, and we can be surgically incredibly effective with the tools that we have.
Senator Risch with us, Kevin Miller here at 580 KIDO. Senator, we had a chance to talk to Nagmeet Abedini, and we asked her if she would like to impart a message to you, and she did that here at 580 KIDO.
He has been a great source of strength for me, seeing that he's sitting across the table from those who are negotiating with Iran and speaking what I would speak. And he's one of the people that I feel like he understands. He has a family. You know, when the kids made the video to President Obama, I wanted him to reach his father's side. And there's two kids that are hurting, you know, where my kids are crying and saying, we want daddy home. And I think Senator Risch has just such a wonderful, he's such a wonderful human and father and leader. And I just admire him for taking every opportunity to not only, you know, fight and represent a whole state, but also care about the individuals and want each individual to come home to their families. And he has a very compassionate heart, and I have admired, I've watched his, you know, his videos, I've watched his Twitter account, and I admire what he's doing, and I appreciate what he's doing for our family and standing up for our family.
Well, I'm humbled and honored that you would say that. But Kevin, you put a question to me right at the top of the hour. Why do you do this? You just heard why I do this. I mean, this family, this little Idaho family, is hurting, and they're hurting badly. And I am incredibly disappointed with the administration in the way they're handling Iran. In almost every aspect of the way they're going about this. But on top of that, these negotiators, Wendy Sherman and the people sitting across the table from the Iranians, have the ability to get these three people, not only Pastor Abedini, but two other Americans that we have that are released. They have it in their hands, in their power to get them released. I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. They released 20-some billion dollars in the first wave of their give to the Iranians. Now, just not long ago, they released another several billion dollars to the Iranians. I said, guys, look, when you're sitting at the table, put your hands on that money. Put your hand right on top of that money and say, okay, we have a deal. But I am not taking my hand off of this money until those three people cross the border of Iran. And I guarantee you it would be hours before they cross the border of Iran. And why they won't do that is absolutely beyond me. I have pushed them. I have pushed them. And I have pushed them. And they say, well, they have bigger things in mind. Well, look, what could be bigger than what this family is going through? What's a government for if they can't help these people? And they could do it, and I am deeply, deeply disappointed. And I can tell you, Mrs. Abedini, if you're listening, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to continue to press these people every day until we get the job done. There's no reason we can't get it done.
More with Senator Risch next, 580 KIDO. Time for traffic.
Weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Senator Jim Risch with us. I'm hogging the conversation as we're talking about issues off the air. We'll get to your calls in a second. Economically, how are we doing? The stock market's blowing up, but still a lot of folks without a job, sir.
Yeah. You know, don't ever confuse the stock market with the economy. I mean, they're two very, very different things, and they sometimes they move parallel, sometimes they don't. You know, the look, people who are in the upper income brackets, what have you, they're doing good. They always do good. They do good in bad times. They take care of themselves. People at the bottom of the spectrum are not doing well, but the group that make up most of us, and that is the people in the middle, you know, Americans are not doing nearly as well as they should be doing. We're Americans. We can do better. And I hate hearing people talk about the new normal. I mean, you look at unemployment right now. If this unemployment had hit any president prior to this, they'd be wanting to run him out of office on a rail. And now they're saying, oh, no, we're doing so good. Why? Because we've come down from double digit. And people talk about the new normal. We do not have to accept the new normal. We're Americans. We've done this for 200 plus years as long as the government left us alone. But so long as they keep trying to regulate every aspect of our life, we're going to continue to struggle. And the American people are tremendous entrepreneurs. This business about creating jobs, you know, every politician's around, oh, elect me, I'm going to create jobs. Jobs are created by the private sector. They're not created by the federal government. If you turn anything over to the federal government, the chances are it's going to go in the toilet. And let Americans do this. We can do it. We can create jobs. We can get this economy back to what we're used to instead of this new normal that they're talking about.
Let's go to Nampa and speak with Dale at 580KIDO for Senator Risch. Good morning, Dale.
Good morning, Kevin. I wanted to place some accolades where accolades are deserved. Senator Risch is probably the top scoring senator we have in the Senate right now as far as his constitutional or conservative index. The January 6th issue of the New American Magazine published his voting record, and he and Senator Crapo and Raul Labrador all received 100%. There is no other congressional delegation in the entire nation that even comes close to voting 100% constitutionally. So, Senator, I thank you.
Well, thanks for the compliment. I didn't realize that statistic was out there. I've seen a lot of others that say I vote relatively conservatively, which would be, I guess, an understatement. But yeah, you know, there's a lot of these liberal newspapers in the state that their heads were exploding when they named me as the most conservative. But look, I represent the most conservative state in America. Why wouldn't the most conservative state in America be represented by the most conservative legislators any more than Massachusetts would be represented by the most liberal legislators in America? I mean, that's the way it is. People elect people they want to represent them, and it's believe me, if you were back in D.C. fighting the battles that I fight every day back there, probably most people who would get elected in Idaho would fit in the same category.
Dale, thank you for the call. Quickly to pro-life for Senator Risch at 580KIDO.
Yeah, you know, I just want to ask the senator how he knows the information he gets on the Intelligence Committee and the other committee, does he really believe that he's being fed the truth? And, you know, from 9/11, 2001 till now, we've been misled so much as the Congress and the press, you know, as all of the people through the media, that I don't trust any of it. And I'm just thinking that maybe Congress needs to have its own investigating committees, and they can go anywhere, have any authority to go and dig into anything they want to, and they don't have that. And I think the executive branch is hiding all kinds of stuff, and it's obvious they do. And so that's my question. Can you do that?
You know, that is a really, really good question. And let me tell you that there's nobody that has a greater skepticism of the federal government and stuff they put out than I do. And when I hear something, I listen carefully to what it is. I have to judge the veracity of it. And I can tell you that on the Intelligence Committee, we do have our own staff, which has good access to virtually all aspects of the federal government. Now, sometimes we got to fight with them. Sometimes a spat will break out, as recently happened between the committee and the CIA. But look, we are the first branch of government. We are the one responsible to the people that stand for election. And we absolutely insist that when we're looking for information, that they give us the information and that they prove and can back up that information. So I'm not one that sits there and says, oh, yeah, okay. I listen to what they have to say. We judge the veracity of it. And it's like you do with your everyday affairs. There are people that you know you're going to get a straight shot from, people that you have confidence in. And then there's other people who've misled you in the past, and obviously when they say something, you're very cautious about it. But I look, that is an absolutely legitimate thing to say, and that is that you don't always get a straight shot from the bureaucracy. I know that. I work with that, and I'm cautious about what the source of the information is and how truthful it is.
Pro-Life, thank you for the call. Senator, we appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Kevin, always enjoy being here. We'll do this again soon.
Yes, sir.
All right.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
And back, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Penny Sear joining us, president of the IEA. Good to have you with us, ma'am.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
School is getting underway. What's the feedback currently from the teachers?
Well, you know, everything I see and hear is that teachers are very excited, welcoming their kids from lesson plans, everything. They're just excited to be back with the kids.
You know, education, I think, is second or perhaps even first to college football here in the Treasure Valley throughout the state of Idaho. Why are people so passionate about education? I don't think I've lived in a state where I've seen so many TV ads about saving the schools or promoting the schools or of that nature. What makes Idaho so unique?
Well, and I'm not sure that we are unique, because I think people all over the nation and the world believe that, you know, children are our future and that they need to have the best education possible and the best chance at success in their adult life. And they are our nation's future.
Right. And we take a look at, you know, the recent cutbacks in education. Now we have people trying to again rebuild those funds, if you will. How are the schools doing? Because remember, you know, we were talking about this off the air. We had Props 1, 2, and 3, commonly known as the Luna laws. That was very controversial. We had the legislature passing for the first time ever. Those laws were repealed by referendum. Where are we as far as teachers, taxpayers, and kids?
Well, I think that schools are still suffering for lack of funds. I don't have the number, but there are so many districts around the state that still have to go out for supplemental levies and ask their local taxpayers to help with the school funds.
Sure.
Even with the increase that Mr. Luna asked for in the budget for next year, I don't believe it gets us back to pre-recession dollars yet. So we are still hurting financially.
Let's talk about something that I've brought up a few times, and we thank you for coming in, the tiered certification. And Tom Luna made this comment like a week or two ago, the proposal where you're going to, you know, we're going to get the bad teachers. So we're always going to get the bad teachers. Of course, whether the teachers are bad or not, that's subjective, I suppose. But, you know, the idea that instead of having a permanent certification, we're going to have a tiered process. And it didn't work 20 or 30 years ago in Ohio. Why should we have it here? What's your reaction to this tiered process?
Well, we've always been, IEA has always been in favor of a concept of tiered licensure and or career ladder. We don't believe they have to be tied together. You can have a career ladder without changing our licensure process. Our concern is this, that the licensure is the state's responsibility. Evaluations are local responsibilities. Evaluations should determine your job performance, not your life of your career.
And basically how it works is you start off with what, a beginner, and then you're provisional. And then if you're a good teacher, you get the master's, if you will. How is that different from how teachers are certified today?
Today, teachers are certified once they receive the university's recommendation. It goes to the State Department, which then gives them a license, a certification.
And that has to be renewed?
Has to be renewed every 5 years with 6 credits.
Yeah, and it's funny to me as a former teacher, and again, highlight former. I love people that take a look at education and say to themselves, well, we love the teachers, but let's get after them. Remember the national teachers exam? That was going to solve the problem of the bad teachers. And all it did was make money for the people that sponsored the national teachers exam. And people couldn't get certified until they had this NTE. And essentially, it was a bunch of questions that didn't relate to education. So we take a look at this process. What is your reaction? You support a concept, if you will, but where are we going to go with this tiered proposal?
Well, from all the comments I've seen, it's not being accepted well. The teachers, once they earn their certification, should have it unless they violate ethics or break the law. Otherwise, it should be up to a school district to determine whether they should remain teaching in that district. Having a contingency professional certificate or a master's professional certificate are just other ways of saying you're great or you're bad. And personally, I don't feel, and IEA doesn't feel like there are very many bad teachers. We do a whole lot of focusing on quote-unquote bad teachers, when really 98% of our teachers are wonderful and they are in it because they're passionate, they love kids, they're there to do what they can for those kids. And that's, to identify teachers as bad is subjective and ridiculous.
What do you say, though, and this is, you're not going to get a lot of folks here that are tree huggers of this program here at 580KIDO, although we have a big tent here. Our reputation precedes us. But what do you say to people that say, oh, it's the unions that are the problem? We need, IEA, why do you have them on, Kevin Miller? What do you say to your critics?
I say that we want our next-door teacher to be just as good as every other teacher, and we're out there working to provide professional development to help our teachers grow in their profession, to help them get better, and to help them be successful in their career. We want everything that everybody else wants for the kids, success in life.
Is public education in the country in jeopardy because of, let's say, for-profit colleges now? Is that going down to the primary and secondary level? And if so, is that a threat to public education?
Well, I think it's definitely a concern when you've got the K-12 different corporations like that sell education for a profit. It is a concern that will, definitely take funds away from, or can take funds away from, our public schools, depending on how the legislature sends those funds.
How important is public education?
I think public education is the cornerstone of our democracy. It is what our nation was founded on. It is what is available to every single student, every single child in our nation. Private education is available for those who can pay, typically.
And as we get rolling in the school year, what is the attitude of the teachers? We talked a little bit about that at the beginning, but again, it seems like it's the same old, same old. Here's the tiered proposal. Look, you're doing good because you're my kid's teacher, but it's that other mysterious one that we're on the lookout for. And by the way, the tiered concept or the tiered certification would not go after people already in the system, right? Because they would be grandfathered in.
Well, you're right. Except that once, supposedly with this rule, if it were to go into effect, then a current teacher, 10 years, 15, 20 years in the system, could supposedly have less than proficient on their evaluation, local evaluation, could be placed on a contingent professional license, and which would comes with it a plan of improvement, et cetera. So it could affect them, because if they don't improve according to that district, that administrator, they could, number one, lose their job, But besides that, then they have a contingent professional license, which affects their career because it will be difficult to take that license to another district in our state and get hired, and to take that license to another state to get a license in a different state, because everybody's going to question, what does that contingent mean? So that's a concern.
Are we in danger of losing teachers to other states?
We already are. They're migrating in droves.
Well, you look what happened in Nampa. I mean, what was that, 100, 150, just boom? And thankfully, they replaced them all. That's a lot of turbulence in the district.
I haven't heard the numbers for the whole state, but I do know that a month and a half ago, there were some 164 teaching positions that they were having trouble finding people to even consider applying for. I also know that out-of-state teachers are not applying for certification in our state. We've got numbers that show in recent years 600 or more would apply for an Idaho license. This year, I think it was 68 or in the 60s have applied for a license in Idaho. So they're already not coming. And then to put tiered licensure on top of that.
Why is that?
I think because of the controversy that we've had over the several years. Propositions 1, 2, and 3 were defeated by the public, and yet the legislature has brought pieces of them back over and over again. So teachers are taking a look at what's going on in Idaho and saying, why would I put my career on the line and come to Idaho when I can do what I'm passionate about in a different state that pays me a whole lot more and that respects me as a teacher?
You have a lot of people that certainly have a lot of pride in the state, that love the state, that educationally, they've done very well, whether they work at Micron or Simplot or great entrepreneurs that have a sense of pride in this state. When they hear that, obviously, that's not going to do good for, recruiting of businesses. The first thing they look at is the schools.
I agree. You know, we have wonderful teachers. Again, like I said, they're excited to be back. They're anxious to be back because they enjoy.
Boy, that's a brutal job.
They enjoy what they do. It's a brutal job, but they love being with those kids, and they love helping those kids be successful. So we've got great, great teachers in Idaho. But the concern is we want to recruit more great teachers, and we want to retain the great teachers that we have. And when teachers can't pay their bills, when they have to get second and third jobs just to be part of the local economy, that's a problem. So they're going to look for a place where they can take care of their own families while doing what they're passionate about.
You know, I had a friend of mine at 580KIDO who's still teaching today, and he said, nobody really cared about what I made when the economy was great. But then once the economy crashed, we saw people looking at educators and other government folks with envy. You know, it's kind of tough to say, well, your teacher makes too much money, and then have your kids respect the teacher. And I'm just wondering how you balance that when money's a big issue here, but the idea that people should be compensated for what they do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're absolutely right. Compensation is important. Teachers, as we discussed earlier, go out and earn 6 credits every 5 years to recertify. That costs money. They have families. I myself had 4 children that I raised in this state. I couldn't have done it without a 2-income family, and I think most of our families are that way. If you take a look at both income earners being teachers in the state and having the cuts and the furlough days, et cetera, that they've had in recent years here in Idaho, it's not healthy for families to not be able to earn a living. And the same is true for people in a profession, a career.
Well, what do you say to future teachers of Idaho?
I say join the Idaho Education Association and help us work to make a change.
Wow. 580KIDO as we continue on here. So, I mean, what's next?
What's next is we'll be looking on how we can change this rule or help make some input into what the rule is going to be going forward to the legislature. We'll be working with the public and with our members and teachers around the state to make sure that this isn't detrimental to teachers.
Sure. Quickly to Gary and Star at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Kevin. I've been listening to the input here on education, and I've spent the last 4 or 5 years looking into it. And the salaries that teachers say that they're getting, our teachers are actually rated 20th in the nation. So they're almost in the middle of where most teachers are getting paid. So I don't know why they're saying they're not getting enough. And we are, Idaho economy is the 14th lowest economy in the Western United States. So if you add that plus where you are, it is a pretty good salary and a pretty good occupation, if you will. The other thing is the problem that Idaho faces is that we tax per household, yet we have the highest number of children per family. We're the, like, second largest in the United States. So if you take the bucket and you tax by household, and a household has 4 or 5 kids, then there's less money to go around. And that's the issue I've looked at. If we really need to look at something, it's maybe how we tax families above the national average, 2.3 per family, whatever. But I've looked into it, and it's not about the money. It's, to me, it's about the performance.
Gary, great call. Penny, your thoughts?
Absolutely. It's about the performance. It's about local districts helping teachers improve their performance and to grow in their profession. It's about, helping, about working together to make every teacher the best that they can possibly be in the district.
Penny, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
Quickly to traffic at 5:00. We appreciate you listening. Good day, God bless, and keep the faith.
Serving Meridian.